following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2...
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio. We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen. This is The Q.
Let's get down to business.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q, of course. Mark Bland and I, coming to you guys on the best pop culture, current events, current affairs, radio show, east and west of the Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, full of professional wrestlers, rioters, big people that love to have sex on other radio shows, all kinds of great things. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. And as always, I am joined by an amazing cast of characters. First off, he is what I consider, by most means, the penultimate when it comes to touring around the United States and being just amazing at who he is.
Thank you.
He is the polar vortex himself, the Danimal, Dan Walsh. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful.
As well as we're joined today by, somebody who's obviously trying to get out of this show. He doesn't want to be here anymore. He's done whatever he can, calling into other shows, discussing things with them. He just doesn't want to be here anymore. Producer Bobby is here. Thank you so much for being here. We're blessed. Whereas Ricky Cruz last week was letting everybody know that I should be blessed that he even showed up. Mm-hmm. I feel blessed that you're here. I do feel
that. I think Bobby's got some explaining to do.
He's fine. He's fine. And then, of course, finally, the Queen Sass herself. The Queen of Sass.
I was really good last time.
She dropped an F-bomb.
I cursed one time.
But
one is all it takes, sweetheart.
That's all it takes to take us off, to literally just gut us. Everything. And then eventually, here's what happens. The FCC comes a call in. They turn around. They say, Mark, we got to take your show off the air. And then I have to take you into an elevator and hit you once. You know what I'm saying?
You got to Ray Rice it.
I've got to Ray Rice this situation. I got to know. She is the Queen of Sass. Lucy Mendez is here. As she always is, bringing her Spanglish and Latina self to them. She just, go ahead.
Yes.
All right, well, ladies.
Lucy no es blanco, es negro now.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We don't even know. Did you just say she's not white, but she's a black person now?
No, her hair color.
Oh, okay, I see.
Her hair was white at one point?
No, I don't know what's going on.
Did I miss that?
My hair was lighter at one point.
And that's blanco?
No.
The fact
I understood what you were saying.
I thought
Bobby.
You said Lucy was white, and now she's black. I thought that was a direct translation.
The fact that Lucy just Dan, you're not noticing Lucy's hair anymore. What's up, dude?
What I say?
You're not noticing her hairstyle changed.
He
obviously,
never does.
You're not good husband material anymore. That's why you have relationship problems.
I'm a man.
Duh.
And men will not notice unless you shave your head.
Exactly. No, you're right. You're 100% right. I got
you
back.
That's not our strong point.
It's
we
never been our strong point.
You know what? I'm gonna say that's not true because every single boy trainer today noticed.
That's because they're trying to get ass.
Because they're trying to get some.
Men do amazingly intrigue. Yeah, and no, let me guess. They're all great guys that just want to be friends.
Yep. They all just are great people to go to the baseball game with.
Lucy, you should come over to my house and we'll have bubble baths and we'll just sit and we'll talk.
The only dude that will notice your hair is either one, he's gay, or two, he wants to see you naked.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Three, both.
Well, let's take a vote.
Why would you care about hair? You're not a hair person.
Let's take a vote. I agree with
you
Dan.
I agree
with Dan. I actually will take Dan's side on this one. I do agree because, let's be honest, when we're single, and Dan, you're single. I was single at one point. Bobby was single at one point. It literally is all about finding some girl to get up with. To either hang out with for a few hours and go kick in and do something fun. And then hopefully, things lead one thing to another. That's literally what goes through most guys' minds.
Not all guys. Not every single guy every single time. Yes.
But it's also a contradiction because women will constantly say they want to communicate and they don't want you to see them as just an object. You want to see them for their personality. But then when you get to looking at them in their personality and you don't notice something physical on them, they get mad at you.
They get very unhappy
about
it.
Complete contradiction. If I get my hair cut, I don't care if someone notices.
The first seven to 8 years of our relationship, my wife had long hair down to like upper back, like, or even close to it. Sometimes it got as long as to like the middle of the back. Like she get like 2 inches taken off. Like it was long hair, and girls are used to that. Right. That's their typical thing.
Yeah.
I never saw her with short hair. It was like pulling teeth for 2 months leading up to the time she decided to get short hair. Now, my wife's had short hair or like different variations of short hair and layered styles and stuff like that for the last 5 years solid. Easy. Solid 5 years. So basically, we've been together for 9 years. She had long hair. Like, it's been short for the last 5 years. And I said something to her the other day. I was like, you never grow your hair out anymore. Like, not trying to be rude or anything. I'm like, you just never do it anymore. Like, it's so weird. Like, not that I'm against that. Like, you look great either way. I'm just saying. And she's like, yeah, well, you wanted me to keep it short. You wanted it short. I'm like, yeah, Angie, I said 5 years ago, one time, 5 years ago, I was like, you should try it short sometime. That's all I said. Like, you know, and then it was a 2 month like discussion of why would you want me to have it short? And then when she did it, she liked it. She thought it was cool. I just was like, hey, you know, I like a little variety. I'm just like, you know, don't just be so whatever. Like now me, like she's always like, well, you never have a beard. You never have a mustache. That's because it would literally take 3.5 years of our lives for me to get what Dan has on his face currently right now. That, which is probably his 5 o'clock shadow, would take me 3 years to get that.
This took me probably a couple weeks.
Couple weeks, but still.
I'm baby-faced, man.
But that's my thing. I'm baby-faced, too. Like, I don't have a lot of chest hair. I don't have a lot of hair on my body or anything like that.
I can't get more than what I've got on my face, and this has been 3 months without shaving.
The truth is the only thing great about my body is my beautiful legs. I've got gorgeous legs, and everybody knows that.
Your legs make people uncomfortable.
What do they call those Monets where they look where it looks great from like far away, but right when you get up? Yeah. His calves and everything, they look great. You know, like they look great.
He's got some great calves, is what he's trying to say.
When he wore those short biker shorts or whatever, you know,
those
are
some
bad
soccer socks. I was wearing soccer shorts. My wife, I told my wife I'm going to do the ice bucket challenge, right?
They were
so
white.
I told her, no, well, my legs were. Yeah. But that's because
it looked like you imported the upper portion of your leg from Antarctica.
Okay. That's great. I don't know how to answer that, actually.
Excuse me,
no,
sir.
I asked my wife, could you please go down and grab me a pair of my basketball shorts? Because I was out of basketball shorts upstairs. I said, could you go grab a pair out of the... We have another dresser drawer downstairs where we keep, like, other clothes and stuff like that, just overflow. I was like, can you go grab a pair of the basketball shorts? Because I want to do the ice bucket challenge when I'm done mowing the grass today and this, that, and the other. So she's like, great. Because it was, like, 100 degrees outside. I figure I'll go sweat, get really hot, get done with the going to the grass, and then I'll just dump ice cold, you know, water on me. It'll dry off, but it'll be great. It'll feel good, and I'll get the ice bucket challenge out of the way, right? So she goes, yeah, sure. She comes back upstairs with those blue Umbros, and they're basically the mesh style, like, you know, fabric.
Yeah.
And I go, those ain't basketball shorts, Ange. In fact, the last time I wore those was probably, gosh, at least 8 or 9 years ago. Like,
when we met?
So she, past when we met, but definitely a long while ago. And I was like, she's like, yeah, you know, that's what I grabbed. I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I just put them on thinking, okay, I'll do this. Why not? Go out and mow the grass. Who's going to say anything to me? I'm mowing my grass to make the houses around me look great. And then when we're done, I'm just going to dump ice water on me. And I think Dan and everybody else will get a big kick out of me in my short shorts. As I'm walking out, I literally look down and I notice, I'm like, well, Mark, you don't hit the gym as hard as you used to. In fact, I don't hit the gym anymore at all. So my legs, I don't work legs out, so my legs ain't big and voluptuous like they used to be when I was a wrestler and stuff. They're skinny. They're small now. And I'm like, oh, great. So I look down and I'm like, wow, those look like really white chicken legs. And then I just like take the picture and I'm like, this is for you guys. A nipple here, a leg shot there. That's what you get.
It wasn't the formation of them. I think what really did them injustice was the drastic change in contrast, like the color. Is that the top was so pasty that it drew so much attention to that. It was the difference in coloration. Yes. Your legs really aren't that disproportionate. It was just one was just so white and one was just like a little bit tan. And I was going to talk about something else on my video, but like right after I watched that, I was like, I told Lucy, I was like, I am going to talk about Mark's legs. This just can't.
Oh, yeah. Is that me right there?
Yes. We can't go without mentioning that.
Move it, football head.
Arnold. I'm Arnold. Hey, Arnold. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop creating fake outrage towards police since the Ferguson riots. I'm going to play you some audio, and we will discuss that. Martha Stewart has beef with Gwyneth Paltrow? This is odd.
Yeah.
And don't get caught in North Korea being American. We're going to talk about all those things on today's show. But I guess, you know, the first thing I want to get into is, Bobby, do you have the one with the actress? Do you have my video with the actress?
Give me just 30 seconds.
All right. I'll read this story. Daniela Watts, an African-American actress who played Coco in Django Unchained, appears as Martin Lawrence's daughter on FX's Partners, says she was handcuffed and detained on this past Thursday by police in Los Angeles who suspected she was a prostitute. According to Watts, she was approached by two police officers after kissing her husband, Brian James Lucas, who is white in public. Watts was reportedly asked to show an ID card, and she refused. She was handcuffed and placed in the back of a police car. They let her go after finding out who she was. Watts wrote in the incident on a Facebook post, "Today I was handcuffed and detained by two police officers from Studio City Police Department after refusing to agree that I had done something wrong by showing affection fully clothed in a public place. When the officer arrived, I was standing on the sidewalk by a tree. I was talking to my father on the cell phone. I knew that I had done nothing wrong and I wasn't harming anyone, so I walked away. A few minutes later, I was still talking to my dad when two different police officers accosted me and forced me into handcuffs." Lucas backed up Watts' account on his own post on Facebook. "From the questions that he asked me, as Dee was already on her phone with her dad, I could tell whoever called on us saw the tattooed rocker white boy and hot booty-shorted black girl and thought we were a prostitute and a trick." Watts and Lucas also posted several photos of the incident, including a photo of the injury Watts sustained while being handcuffed. Variety reached out to the LAPD public information officer, who said because Watts wasn't arrested or brought to the station, there was no record of the incident. Now, Bobby, do you have the TMZ like audio of this? I want you guys now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because when this situation went down, listen to how this interaction, this is a recording of the situation with the police officers and this actress the day of. This is the moment that it happened. Listen to their interaction.
Who's the owner of the car?
That's me.
Bobby, what do you know about
registration?
No, don't worry about that. I have her ID.
Well, I have her passport.
Okay.
Daddy, can you hold on for a second? Hey, hold on. Excuse me. What's the issue?
Somebody called the police saying that there was lewd acts in the car.
There's no lewd acts happening.
Doesn't matter. I have to ID you.
We're not doing anything.
Somebody called.
I'm on the phone with my dad. This is my boyfriend.
Okay, I want to see your ID. Somebody called, which means gives me the right to be here. So it gives me the right to identify you.
Do you know how many times I've been called? The cops have been called just for being black.
That is not,
because we're black and he's white. Right? I'm just being really honest.
I don't. Who brought up a race card? Why?
I'm bringing it up because
I had no, I said nothing about you being
black.
And I have every right to ask your ID.
And I have every right to say no. And if you'd like
to say no,
you can take me down to the court office and I can make a scene about it.
No.
And you know what? I have a publicist.
Oh, we're having some issues with the internet, I guess.
Yeah.
But okay. So regardless of that, based off of what you heard there, okay. This is a situation where she's standing off to the side. Somebody else calls this in. Like, somebody sees this situation going down. So it wasn't officers randomly walking down the street. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you heard her, like, basically say, well, it's because I'm black and I've been called on for being black before. And they weren't just walking down the street. Someone called. They're engaging the actual phone call of somebody else. And they're coming to check on a situation.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just want to see your ID and they want to talk to you. And if you notice, she pulls the race card.
Right away.
Almost right away. We weren't doing nothing wrong. We don't need to be here. Do you know how many times the police have been called on me because I've been black? This, like, it's kind of, it's never. What is wrong with America, man?
Did you say this was in Studio City?
This was a Studio City.
I actually used to stay in Studio City.
Okay.
And if you've been in Studio City, it's not like, it's very. Like
I think
hip.
This is Radford. I think this is Radford. This is like the Jewish area, like where there's all the apartments right across the street.
Let's put it this way. It's right outside of a certain point of Studio City up on the hill is where they form porn movies.
Okay.
Well, that's
but it's not. It's not a bad area. It's just those are some nice houses up on the hill. I actually stayed in Studio City, or right next to Studio City, literally like a mile away. And it's not a place where, I mean, it is kind of, some parts of it are uppity. But I mean, it's for the most part a very like, it's a very like liberal area. Like,
it's a decent area.
Nobody's gonna, you know. So for her to, it's not like they're in Compton or they're in Inglewood or they're somewhere where police would probably profile and be mean about. Right. It's now I'm not saying, now there are some kooky people there.
Oh, of course.
I'm not like business owners. They're weird. So God knows why they called on this young lady. But
no, they were called because apparently her and her boyfriend or whoever this dude was were in their car
making out
in the broad
something.
Daylight, getting it on, and people could see it from
supposedly,
their window.
Supposedly getting it on.
If it's the guys who are filming the porno who are looking down there going, listen, they don't have a license. We're going to nip this in the bud.
No. I think what I really want to focus on here a little bit is the fact that we have this need now since, okay, and we're going to talk about another situation we're going to talk about.
This one, in my opinion, was ridiculous. She baited it completely.
But what we have is since the Michael Brown incident.
Right.
Here in Ferguson, okay?
Yep.
We have a lot of people that are going out of their ways to get their video cameras and to get their phones out and to get as much video and audio on police officers and every interaction that they're having because it's just obvious all police are just nailing people to the wall all the time. Now, I will be the first person to not say that all police are great people because we know that's not true. We know that's not true. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the truth that every single time a police officer interacts with a human being, black, white, or indifferent, that it's constantly the government versus the people. This guy is coming in to take his taser out or his gun out, shoot or kill. And it's not always because about racial profiling. Hey, these police officers, how about we try this? You guys, you ready for this one, Lucy? You're gonna love this one. How about we try this, ladies and gentlemen? How about the next time an officer just asks you, can I see your ID? How about you just give them the ID, they take a look at it, you answer the couple of questions that they have, and then you move on with your day. And
that
none of
fantastic.
This happens.
You know why people have such great success with police officers? Because when they ask for ID, we give it to them.
Yeah, we don't question it. We don't sit there and go, I wasn't doing this and I wasn't doing that. And then when the police officer says, hey, we got a phone call. We got an actual phone call. How about this? How much more outraged would the citizens after Michael Brown and this Ferguson situation be in 2014 if the police stopped responding to the calls? How much more? Like, let's say the police didn't respond to the call and the lady who called it in decided to get on her Facebook and then go to the news stations and go, you know, I called in a situation that was going on where I saw a prostitute and a blah, blah, blah. Even if it wasn't that situation at all, like it was an actress and her boyfriend, I saw these two doing this and I called it into the police and they just threw it by the wayside. They don't even protect their citizens anymore. They don't even care. Then it would be the whole, see, they're against you. They don't even want to protect you anymore. They just want to shoot you on sight and they just don't want to care when you do call and have problems.
Well, it's just one of those areas. I mean, this area, like I can't explain it well enough.
Yes,
but
you can. You just say it's a pretty Jewish area. And
but
there's
I wouldn't even say that.
There's a lot of apartments around there and stuff.
No, it can be super
I mean, I've
nice.
Been to Sioux City. I've been to Radford. To both the areas.
Yeah, but like you'll see that it
balances. I had a TV show that was on MTV. It was called Road Rules Challenge.
Listen,
and
okay,
and I did my
would
thing.
Would you just listen to me?
Yeah.
All right. There is with the area I was at. I was on Ventura, and it was there was an area of it where it was not super rich, like people try to paint it out to be. It was kind of in between. It's almost like a loop area.
Yeah. A lot of people forget that LA is a city, and they have like all the different levels of class. Like,
yeah.
You know, they have middle class, upper class, lower class.
And even Ventura in itself. You go to one side of Ventura, it's like, it kind of like, not, I want to say declines, but it goes more modest.
Well, the thing is,
you know,
is that everybody forgets that Thousand Oaks exists.
And it's not.
The Valley and Thousand Oaks exist. And like, all we know about LA from everywhere else in the world is Compton.
Yeah.
Right? And movie stars and the word Hollywood on the side of the
it's
hill.
Either,
like it's one or the other. We never talk about the Valley and we never talk about Thousand Oaks where it's literally just middle class
people. Basically, this is happening in Brentwood. For people who are at home who don't, this is Brentwood.
Brentwood, Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah, like Brentwood, Missouri. It's not,
or
yet,
down
to
Manchester.
Not
or but Manchester.
Yeah, it's not completely rich or in like movie stars, but and there is a lot of open to expression. There's people that do, they're street performers. They have, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a closed off place. Like,
it's definitely not the area like
the kids, right.
It's not like the kids who went to Hazelwood Central where they grew up. It's not that low like Compton.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not like really high and really rich.
McClure, McClure North.
Here's a story that I can counteract on this.
Yes.
All right. In Los Angeles, they are really against smoking, like even in public. Like, they're just. They frown upon.
We have talked about this.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on that?
It depends. It really does depend. But in this case, my story, I was smoking a cigarette and I was outside of a we were waiting for somebody to come out. They were working in a building. So I'm smoking a cigarette and I just flipped the cigarette on the ground. This LAPD pulls up and the guy looks at me and I was talking on the phone as I'm talking. I guess I looked a little upset. I threw the cigarette down, guy pulls up, flashes lights, and he goes, "Listen, you can't throw that on the ground. I'm going to need you to pick that up.
Okay.
So I said, okay, no problem, officer. And I picked it up. And he goes, yeah, we don't litter. We don't put cigarette butts on the ground. Yet there's no butt can. There's nothing. Like, they don't help you out.
It's right, just of
like,
course. There's no opportunity.
But he was very, like, you better pick that up. Like, but he wasn't, like, beating me or anything. But then at the same time, after he's done, after the whole thing's done, and he looks for he checks my ID and everything just for a cigarette butt, and I'm white, he looks at me and goes, is everything okay? You look like you're a little upset.
So he was concerned. Like, there was some concern there.
So he was being ID'd a person.
He was being a human being.
He was doing his job.
Yeah, and he ID'd me and did all that because that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to report his stuff because he has a logbook. And after he was done, he legit looked at me and goes, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? You looked a little... So he was watching me. Now, other people would be like, whatever, man. They can't have anything else better to do. They're going to stop a person for a cigarette butt. Well, no. They notice there's a lot of smog in the air, so if they can keep the litter off the ground, that would be really great for them, too. But I get Lucy, it. I was on private property.
Now, Lucy, before we get out of here on this, at the bottom of the hour here on 1380thex.com as well as 1420WINI, quick question for you. Obviously, you're Latina.
Yes.
You are of ethnic origin. Mm-hmm. So do you find you get profiled all that often yourself?
I don't think I do.
You don't think so?
I've never felt like I have, no.
Well, no.
When you flash
those
eyes.
It's because you're pretty, though? Do you think it's because you're a pretty girl, or do you think it's just because you don't get profiled because there's just no reason to profile you?
There's no reason to profile me.
I'm a different person. Like, I believe that there's probably a lot of Mexicans that would say, hey, we get profiled all the time. Like,
well, that's because they're doing stupid things.
Right, but I think that there would be people that say, like, because she's pretty, they don't bother her as much. Do you think that that's a connotation?
No,
or not?
I don't think so.
I think with Mexicans and, like, with the, like Latinos... As a white man, I'm not going to pretend like I don't hear.
As a white man from Guadalajara, please go on.
Yes. I mean, I've heard all the racial stuff about blacks. I've heard all the racial stuff about Chinese. I mean, you hear a lot. Most of the time that I hear stuff from ignorant people about Mexicans and that,
sure,
it's never like that they're criminals or anything like that. It's always like, oh, like 20 of them sleep in like one room or something like that. You know what I mean? It's never
it's
like they're
always like
sleep.
A light stereotype.
Yeah,
like,
it's nothing
they
that's
sell,
harm
like we
you.
Talked about with Ricky Cruz. The oranges, it's never like, oh, they cut people's heads off and they murder them and put them in holes in the middle of Mexico.
Don't do that.
Well, that's the cartels that do that. But no, like your average, if anything, they're hardworking people. And I don't get why that's a bad stereotype.
Yeah. You know what? That's a very good point. You know, we downplay Mexicans in the United States of America and Latinos quite often because we are like, oh, look at them. There's a whole bunch of them up on a roof doing more roofing or this, that, and the other. And like, and that's not even a stereotype. It's just like we downplay them and we knock them. But here's the funny thing. We complain about them coming over the borders and like taking jobs from other people. Two things. One, in most cases, most of you ain't going to get a job as a roofer because that's not what you want to do. But you know what? They do it. They do it well. And guess what? They turn around. They buy gas at gas stations. They buy groceries at grocery stores. They do the same things that everybody else who's in America does.
They cook for 27 people at a time, man.
Fair enough.
They're buying more groceries than most of us.
That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Cue. When we come back, more with myself, the Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh, Bobby, the producer himself, the big dog, as well as the Queen of Sass. Lucy Mendez will be back on The Cue after this.
Yeah. After the night, don't leave your girl around me. True player for real. Ask my nigga for real.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue. Of course, a little Usher to bring us back. Producer Bobby, Dan Walsh, and the Queen of Sass, Lucy Mendez. We are kicking it here on 1380thex.com as well as 1420WINI and worldwide at thecuenow.com. Don't forget, if you want to find out stuff about the show, go to thecuenow.com. We got profiles about Dan, myself. We got to get Lucy up there.
Yeah,
almost. She's getting better.
Hi, Chihuahua.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we were before we went to the break, we were talking about this whole race card and police and how police are getting like unfairly videotaped and they're creating these stories around them that all police are bad and everybody's going after the citizens of our country.
Well, the worst part is that's been going on for a long time. Like I've been seeing videos for a while about that, but it's getting worse since the whole Mike Brown situation happened. But did you hear that Officer Wilson did testify in front of the grand jury?
And that's great. I'm glad that he did. And here's the funny thing. Like I think that we all know how the way the truth works. The truth is 50% of this person says, and like when you don't have like all both people right there to like collaborate, you take 50% of what this person says, 50% of what that person says. You kind of find where they kind of match up on the story wise, like where they kind of cross over.
Right.
And then you pretty much have the whole story beginning to end.
Right.
And I think that like that's what's going to happen. And I hate to say this. I'm just throwing this out there. This week, you heard it here first on the queue. I have a feeling that they're not going to indict Darren Wilson on this situation. I have a feeling that he's going to get off because they're going to say that there is substantial enough evidence from what they view as the grand jury that Officer Wilson was in the right as a police officer to use lethal force. All like they, I think that's what they're going
to
say.
All they have to do is prove that he was struck. Not that he broke the orbital bone, but that he was struck in the face, because that calls to reason obstruction of vision. And if you are fearing for your own safety and your vision is obstructed due to a blow sustained by your perpetrator, then that can explain why you would shoot him six times and he would be fall so far from you.
Now, here's the other thing.
If they can do that, and I'm not saying that did or didn't happen, but if they can do that, that's reasonable cause. They're not going to indict him.
And here's the other side of that. If Darren Wilson just literally did get loose cannon gun happy and decided to kill kid, and they want to indict him and like
then
hang him from the highest
to be
street
punished,
then fine,
it.
So be it. That's it. Like, I'm not against that.
I'm either way, whatever you prove, he just give him justice. Just don't give him the court of popular opinion. Give
either
him
way
justice.
Though, it doesn't give justice. And the reason for that is A, if he's not indicted, well then it's going to turn into a bigger race situation because
The
majority of the grand jury is white. There's only three African-American, two male, one female. If he is indicted and they give him 25 years or life in prison, it's not going to be enough. They're going to say it's not enough.
Yep. No, that's very possible. Like, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm not worried about justice in the opinion of the people. I'm talking about the people that are in the room that are civilized and have not any kind of bias. What they felt was the proper course of action. That's true justice. Whether the people react to it fine, right, that's their own thing.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm ready to bring up here on the show kind of plays into what we're talking about right now, as well as what we were talking about in the first quarter of the show, which was basically there is just this tendency now since the Mike Brown situation and the Ferguson situation for there to be immediate outrage, hypervigilance against police officers in all forms and fashions, regardless of color or race or any of that. Like, there is just this constant need to now put everything the police do under a microscope because it's obvious that they're just out to get us. Now, Bobby, you have I want you to play the news story first. There was a situation where an Oakland firefighter he went on the news and basically made a claim about a situation involving himself and a police officer in Oakland. And I want you to listen to this. And Bobby, go ahead and hit play there. And we don't play. All right.
Morning came too soon today.
What was that? Is that commercial that we got going on there? It's okay.
That
when you're
like
ready,
really
when you're ready, you just let me know. Just give
porn.
Me the point. But like, we have this hyper vigilance of our lives now, and I don't understand why we need to do this. All right.
Because we're spoiled.
Firefighter says that he thought the Oakland police officer was going to pull
Take
the trigger. Today he told us how it all tensely unfolded. Dial in with a story you're going to only see on KPIX 5, Doc.
Alan, it happened right here, Station 29 in East Oakland. A rookie police officer stopped an off-duty firefighter and his two kids at the station, thinking they were burglars. The firefighter says the entire incident traumatized his two young sons, and he truly believes this happened because he's black. It was 10:45 at night after a recent Raider scheme. Veteran firefighter Keith Jones and his 9 and 12-year-old kids were walking back to their SUV at Station 29. A fire crew responding to a fire forgot to close the garage door. Jones went to make sure everything was okay. As he walked out, a white officer responding to a possible burglary in progress yelled, "Don't move, put your hands up."
And his hand is on his gun. He was crouched, he was low. And he was basically in a shooting stance.
Jones complied, but noticed his 9-year-old was starting to cry. The officer saw the two kids first and had already told them to raise their hands.
Hey, sir, my name is Keith Jones. I'm an Oakland firefighter. I work here. Those are my kids. Could you please allow them to put their hands down and let them know that it's okay? In which he looked at me, told me, keep your hands up and don't move.
Jones says this lasted for a few minutes.
I'm pretty much thinking he's going to shoot me.
I was thinking, is he going to shoot my dad the whole time?
I was getting ready about to cry, but
My hands started to get tired, but I kept them up.
Finally, the lone officer allowed Jones to reach into his pocket and show his firefighter ID. Jones says the incident traumatized his kids and changed their perception on police officers.
Images in my head think about how my dad would have got shot. And so I keep on trying to forget about it. So, because it scares me a lot.
I think they view black males as a threat.
Don Cameron isn't involved in the case, does not work for OPD, but trains police officers. He says the new officer was following protocol.
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with race at all. I think the officer just, hey, I've got a burglary in progress. There's people right here. There's a guy walking out of the location. I don't know who he is.
The police trainer says the officer should have at least apologized, though, to the firefighter and the two kids. Now, this incident has gone so serious, the fire chief apparently called the police chief about this. In fact, Jones filed a complaint against that police officer. OPD is confirming the incident, but would not comment on it. Live in Oakland, I'm Dahlin.
All right, well, so there's the situation. We have Keith Jones, the firefighter. Obviously, he was accosted by a police officer. It was out of control. He was in a shooting stance, had his hand on the gun. He felt threatened for his life. His children were crying. And it was a situation where, obviously, didn't need to happen. It was because he was black. It was because he was black. And it was obvious this officer was racially profiling that situation.
Right.
He was going to kill him. He felt like his life was going to go down. Like it was over with. His life was over with. In fact, the police chief had to be called by the fire chief so that they could work this situation out, because we just can't have that happening between these two different branches of service. Like, it's one of those things, Dan. It's serious. It's out of control. Yeah. Now,
I could tell by what the kids said. Those are very, very smart kids.
Very smart kids. Okay, so now, ladies and gentlemen, the police department decided, once they heard this news story that not only ran on the NBC News, the ABC News, and the Fox News over there, they decided to release, because these police officers in Oakland tend to wear those lapel cameras that are on their chest at all times and that record every interaction. Well, the police department heard this, and they decided to release their video of the exact situation. This is the interaction between Mr. Jones and the police officer the night that it happened. Bobby, are you ready? All right, go ahead, buddy.
Put the bag down. Get your hands up. Get your hands up. Turn around.
I'm an Oakland firefighter. I seen our apparatus door open. I walked to the station. I'm an Oakland firefighter. That's my truck right there. See the KJ in the front? See the firefighter plates?
Stay right there. Don't move.
You can hear the kid crying in the background.
3026B, code 34, code 4. Can you copy a plate for me?
I got my city ID in my back pocket.
It's going to be California personal. King John Adam Yellow. It's all right. It's all right.
He was talking to the kids.
3L26. You can slow everyone else down. ID, please.
Can I go over the back pocket?
Who else is in here?
Nobody. It's just me. I walked through the station to make sure.
Yes, just do me a favor real quick. Lift your hands up as high as you can and turn around for me one time. All right, yeah, reach in your back pocket and grab it. What's your name?
Keith Jones.
3026, pal.
No one's in here. I walked through the station. The door was wide open, and I know they probably went on a run and left it wide open.
Okay.
So all I was doing was going to shut the door and secure all right. the premises and leave.
You work here?
I work here. I'm in the Oakland Fire Department.
All right. You can put your hands down, kids. Sorry about that. You can relax, too. Hey, may I just hang out with them for a minute?
Yep.
He saw the door open. He came in here and checked it out.
And at this point, I think the officer's going to his car to, like, run the stuff and the information and all that. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. That is the entire situation between police department as well as Keith Jones, the fire department official that happened to be there. We heard the child crying. We heard the child crying.
Which is understandable.
The only thing we didn't hear, because it happens, like, right at the end of the video, is the officer radio back, hey, cancel the burglary call.
Right, yeah. That's why the officer was called. Like, I'm not going to play 3 minutes of him just sitting in a car writing stuff down. You know, there's no reason to do that. But my point is, ladies and gentlemen, remember, he was in a stance. He had his hand on the gun. It's obvious because I was black. My kids were threatened. My life. He was trigger finger. He's loose cannon. He was going to take me out at any time.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just listened to this audio on the queue. This is what we do on the queue. We bring you the best. That's why we're the best. Listen, this officer asked him to put his hands up. He even said, can I reach in my pockets? Yeah, just turn around one time for me so I can see what you got.
He was saying,
and then
please.
He said, yeah, go ahead and do it. And then when it was done and said, he even said sorry to him.
Yeah.
He's like, sorry, I didn't. And he even talked to the kid. I think I brought that up
he
during
the... He told the kid it's
he's
okay.
He's like, it's okay. It's calm down. It's no big deal. Like it's this is what the problem is, ladies and gentlemen.
He made a gesture to the other police officer saying, no, he works here.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm trying to say to you. The Mike Brown Ferguson riot situation got so out of hand and put everybody in this country on such edge that situation right there turned into new story. Police chief has to talk to the fire chief. He had his hand on his gun. He was going to try to kill me. It's obvious because I was black. My kids felt threatened for their lives. The entire world was coming after us. These police are out of control. That's the problem. Fake outrage. You are fake outraged every damn time you turn around. You can't post on Facebook without somebody taking everything personal. You can't do anything as a police officer now without every little thing you do. Hey, can I get a stick of gum from you? Stick? Stick up? You're trying to shoot me? It's a stick up? No, I said a stick of gum, man. No, it's a stick up. I got my hands up. Don't shoot. Don't shoot. Hands up. Like, that's where you're at as a society. You are so... Dan went to war in Iraq. You know what Dan never wants to see again? Tell him, Dan, what you never want to see again. War.
A lot of sand.
Yeah, he never wants to see
camel
sand.
Camel spiders.
He doesn't want to see camel spiders. He doesn't want to see dead bodies. He doesn't want to see war. He doesn't.
Well...
Do you want to see war again?
No, this is the thing that people in our society is getting so spoiled, is that we think that we're in this tyrannical government, and like... I've seen people in an area where they were feared for their lives every day because they were getting blown up. You know, I've just seen a society that was truly chaotic. And we wouldn't last, as America, wouldn't last 5 minutes in
we
that.
We would.
We would be destroyed. You could take this entire country over if you held cable and the internet hostage. We are that weak-minded.
Oh, my God. Not and that's my point. Dan never wants to see war again, and neither do any of the people that were in Vietnam, the people that were in World War I and II, Seoul, Korea, and it doesn't matter. They don't, because you know what? They literally saw what out-of-control chaos and the world against you really looks like. And it's scary when you're in the middle of a marsh field in Vietnam, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden you just hear a thump, and then you have no idea, and then literally 10 feet from you, a mortar shell explodes and knocks out 13 different people and kills them right in front of you. And you just happen to survive enough to limp around and roll over to see 3 other dead bodies. Like, we don't know what that's like. But now that the Ferguson situation has happened, oh my God, it's tyranny at the worst case. Alex Jones is right. Glenn Beck and the conservatives are right. This is out of control. The world is coming to kill us. It's not. It's just fake outrage because you people don't have enough in your lives day to day to worry about. You know what the worst thing that happens to you is? On a Sunday night, you go over to your buddy's house, you play a Super Bowl of Madden, and you get picked off in the fourth quarter, and you lose the game by 2 points, and you're angry about it. That's the worst thing that happens to you. So now, when somebody walks up to Lucy Mendez because she's on a street corner, she's a pretty girl. Uh-oh. She's just happened to hang out. It happens to be 10 o'clock at night, and she's walking with one of her other girlfriends who's also dressed up in nice, and they're on their way, you know, a couple blocks down the street to a club. It's obvious that they're streetwalkers. They have to be whores, and they have to be taking down society piece by piece and penis by penis. And they're not. They're not.
Obviously.
We're not taking down the society. It's not happening. Lucy's just going to a club with her friend.
That's right.
Okay?
Going salsa dancing.
Seriously, that's I want the fake outrage to stop. I want every time somebody posts something on Facebook or social media for you to not just go, it's obvious he's my enemy. He's my enemy. Oh my God. He's the reason Barack Obama. And it's like, we're just so addicted to it. Benghazi, perfect example. We talked about it at length, Dan, on the show. I mean, I want to, let me read off a couple of these things, these talking points that people like to like hash on to prove the tyranny of our government and the world that we live in the United States in 2014. Benghazi, a situation where, yeah, some things fell through. It didn't work out. But because life's not perfect and everybody doesn't get what they want at all times, it's outrage. It's obvious the government killed those people. Wow. They went out of their way to make it happen. They helped it.
That's the sad part, is that someone lost their lives, and there's actually something that should have been focused on, and they didn't. They turned it into some stupid batter back and forth politically to try and get gain. And that's, to me, you should feel like a piece of crap.
Fast and the Furious. Oh, it's up the border. They just let them over here, and now some people lost their lives because, well, gosh darn it, some people are stupid. And things just don't happen the way you want it to at all times. Do you think that there's always been the chance that people trying to come over the Mexican border into the United States have lost their lives?
Yes.
Many have. And it had nothing to do with the government, and it had nothing to do with people being a tyrant towards those people. What about Obamacare? The idea that we just want a lot of people to have health care and the potential to do this. Yes, there is tax things. Yes, there is financial causes. Yes, there's this, that, and the other. It's not socialism. It's not guns to your head and militarization of the government against you to make you not have liver cancer.
Well, I don't think like you should tie socialism in with like tyrannical government, like gun to your head.
Oh, no. Every single time they want to take the word God out of something that's on a wall in some government center, it's obvious they're just against religion. It's against, they hate God and Jesus. And oh my goodness, hey Zeus, how dare him?
Bobby, I need you to look up something for me. Did you hear about that school in Florida that because these people fought to get prayer in school, they made it basically a judgment that said, yes, now everyone is entitled to prayer in school. Now they have to... Because somebody probably just wanted to stir up something.
Right.
They have to allow the Church of Satan.
Yeah.
As a recognized.
Outrage. Oh, but the minute that the Church of Satan gets in, they're going to be like, see, you allow Satanism in here.
And now,
it's against God. It's outrage.
And the person, I'm sure the person did it to prove a point. You don't want God in school. You don't want religion in school. You want your religion in school. You want your God in school.
Oh, let's not forget about this one. Dan, you're a big fan of this one. He's going to take our guns. If you allow that black man into the office, he's going to come to your house, and he's going to take every one of your guns. He's just going to use the Second Amendment and wipe his butt with it because he doesn't want you to have guns.
With
no. No. It's fake outrage. Again.
You sound like an Mr. Ultimate Warrior.
You're fired.
You sound like the Ultimate Warrior. Really.
But that's my point.
You have the best in-studio fake outrage.
I'm just... Dude, it's ridiculous. You people. Listen. I've said this on the show. I'm going to say it one more time. Okay? Tomorrow morning, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get up in your house in some middle-class part of America after listening to this show. You're going to brush your teeth. You're going to wash yourself with the same soap that you like to use. You're going to go out and eat your bran muffin or your bowl of Chex Mix or whatever it is. You're going to jump into your car. You're going to stop by your local gas station and grab your favorite cup of coffee because you got to do that every morning. It's $1.75.
Make sure it's gluten-free.
Gluten-free
you
coffee.
You probably don't even know what gluten is.
You're going to get to your job. And at your job, you're going to just tool around on social media as well as check the mortgage stocks and this is that. You're going to do what your boss tells you to do. You're going to do that all day until 5 o'clock. And the worst thing that's going to happen is Bob from finance, you know, he just talks your ear off. And gosh darn it, I've been here for 5 years and I still can't get over how much this guy is such a tool. And I don't like him. So I'm going to talk to Dennis, my friend. Me and Dennis are going to have a discussion at lunch about how Bob's still a tool. And the same conversation we had last Tuesday and the Tuesday before that and the Tuesday before that is going to happen today. That's what's going to happen. And then guess what? You're going to get off. You're going to come home. And if you're single, you're probably going to rack one out. Because that's what you do. You're going to put on your favorite porno video, probably starring Dan the Polar Vortex. You're going to knock one out real quick. Then you're going to turn around and you're going to make yourself a TV dinner and you're going to watch, you know, a little, what's on at that time? Wheel of Fortune? Going to watch a little Wheel of Fortune?
Nice.
Yeah, and then when you're done with that, you're going to watch The Big Bang Theory because you're a big Big Bang Theory fan. We love the Golden Girls, right? Say that!
Don't you knock The Big Bang Theory.
No, okay. And then you're going to go to bed and you're going to do it all over again. And guess what never happened in any of that? No one came to your house to take a gun. Nobody told you that you couldn't have health care. Nobody told you you need to go down and protect the border. Nobody sent you over to get beheaded by ISIS. None of it happened. All that happened was the same damn thing that happens every day.
Well, you were subjected to the tyrannical viewing of the Big Bang Theory since they're syndicated by everyone. They are. That's socialistic television because you have no choice but to watch Big Bang Theory.
And you know what? In there, guess what else you got to do? Guess what else you got to do? You paid $45 to go to your local sports club and be on some whack-ass soccer team trying to relieve your youth from when you were a senior in high school with your other 10 friends that are 40 years old. And guess what? None of you are. You're all huffing and puffing up and down the field just like Mark or Dan or anybody else does. And guess what? None of it changed anything. But I guarantee you talked a lot of trash about so-and-so and this, that, and nothing about Obama came out of your mouth. Nothing about Ferguson came out of your mouth. Nothing about anything in life but your own selfish needs came out of your mouth. Because you're just a bunch of spoiled, selfish, self-indulged douches. And that's it.
Douchebags.
Yeah.
We're going to fist fight all of you.
We're not fist fighting anybody.
You can line up outside the studio. You're going to get your asses kicked.
You can say that.
I'm sorry. I know that I've been going on for the last 15 solid minutes, but the truth is, I'm just done with the fake outrage. How about you guys dial it down a notch? Be a little patient. Roger Goodell is not the devil because he didn't jump on something 5 months ago. Maybe he had his reasons. Maybe not everybody's telling you every single thing about their life at all damn times because it's not your business.
Damn straight.
That's my point. Okay? So take it down a notch. Dial it back. We'll talk a little bit about Adrian Peterson. The whole child abuse thing with the switch and all that. You know, we'll talk a little bit about that. But it's not like every single person in the NFL is just walking around with sticks beating their kids as soon as they get out of their football cleats. That's not how it's working.
I scored 4 touchdowns and I whooped my son's ass.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more with myself, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby and Lucy Mendez. We will be back. Stay tuned. Gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, of course. Mark Bland, Lucy Mendez, Danimal Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby, kicking it here. Who'd you bring us back with there?
That was the Newsboys.
The Newsboys. Oh,
and the
my
song,
goodness. We are going to talk about that here in a second. But, you know, before we get into that, you know, I was a little ranty. A little edgy, a little loud with my last segment there on the show here on The Q, which, by the way, check us out at theqnow.com. Old episodes, new episodes, and all that great stuff. Plus, you listen to us on 1380thex.com as well as 1420 WINI and worldwide on the internets and in your cars and with the Lycos and the web crawlers.
AOL.
And AOL discs. Make sure you get your AOL discs. The new 2500 minutes is out, so I want you to be able to hear the whole show.
Getting it radio show.
Yes. You're gonna have to do that. Off the air, Bobby asked me a question, which I feel is something that I should bring up on the show. And it was a question basically where Bobby said, "Hey Mark, I noticed that you got really hot in that last segment.
Yeah.
Why do you feel that the fake outrage exists at the level it does now?"
Right.
And let me kind of explain this from my own personal point of view, and everybody can chime in, whatever you guys think yourselves. Okay. But I think that in 2014, with technology the way it is, the fact that we can constantly control everything in our lives, we can pick whatever songs we want to listen to, the exact style of song we want to listen to, we can get it all so niche. The clothing is cheap, relatively cheap. You can get any color and any style. You can control the kind of cars that you buy and how safe they are versus how fast they can go. Like, there are so many, like, back in the 1914s, there was the Model T Ford. Like, that's it. That's all you had. It was It was one car with one engine. It went one speed. And if you had one, you had one. And if you didn't, you didn't. Like, that was it. And then, of course, like, some newer cars came out, but they were all just different versions of the same cars that had a governor on them that only went so fast. And, you know, roads were all crappy, so everybody's tires were about the same. Now, you can have so many options within your life, and you can control everything. And we forget, in 2014, with the ability to control everything, there are still things. People can die. things can happen when we least expect it still, and they are out of our control. They are completely out of our control, and it basically slaps you back into reality to let you know things can get out of control. And I think what happens now when you have situations like and I'm just gonna use it as an example, like this situation we just played with the fire department guy, Keith Jones, out there in Oakland, or when you have a situation with Mike Brown, or some of these other situations that we see the fake outrage popping off in, or like Benghazi, what we do is we see these small things that we can't control, and then we see people around the situation that we look at as contemporaries of our own, that we feel that they should have the same amount of control in their things that they do as we do, because we're all the same. Mm-hmm. We all live in the same time period. And when we see those things go out of control for others, we gravitate and we go, oh my gosh, that would have never gone out of control. Like, you know what it is? It's the ultimate version of the Monday morning quarterback, or the armchair general. Yep. for boxing, where it's like, yeah, if it would have been me in that ring, because I got a little boxing experience, they're like, I would have done this and I would have done that and I would have turned this around, and that would have never happened. If I was in the ring, I would have won that match. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's, we never look at the situation and go, gosh, Mike Tyson's really, really good at what he does. He's one of the best in the entire world. And unfortunately, Buster Douglas beats him. Like, he knocks him out, and it blows everybody's mind. And like, it's like, oh, he should have done this in round 7 and this in round 8, and that would have fixed the whole situation. It's like, you're outraged because you just can't understand that sometimes things happen. Mm-hmm. Just like Anderson Silva in the UFC getting knocked out by Chris Weidman. He's goofing around. He loves to play with people. But he stuck that jaw a little bit too far, and Weidman lit him up.
Boom.
And now your undefeated streak doesn't exist. The same thing, potentially, we talked about Mayweather. He won his match against Maidana. And listen, he might turn around on the next match and get beat. He might get knocked out, and everybody would be like, see? He could have done this, and he would have got to 50 wins. You know, it's like,
Who did he pick for his next fight?
I had a school teacher from Ohio. I think you're right. Which is funny that you say that, because
his name is pretty tough though.
Rich Franklin from the UFC literally was a third grade school teacher from Ohio who decided to get into mixed martial arts just because he wanted to up his athleticism, and he wanted to get into it because it was going to be a good workout cardio wise for him. So he's trying to get into shape, and he ended up becoming so good at it, he got a couple opportunities, and he turns around and becomes a 3-time UFC champion. He's probably going to go into the UFC Hall of Fame. But it's funny, he was a school teacher from Ohio.
What?
And it was by complete luck.
I was just trying to say he was going to pick a weak opponent. But
but I think that that's where the fake outrage comes from. I think that that's where the fake outrage comes from. Do you feel that way, Lucy?
I guess.
Okay. Oh, all right.
I'm chilling.
For the record, right now, Mike Tyson is completely out of shape, and I still think he would knock me out in the first round.
Let's talk a little bit about this. Martha Stewart, one of the things I want to throw out there, because I talked about it at the top of the show, Martha Stewart has a problem with Gwyneth Paltrow, because Gwyneth Paltrow seems to keep getting involved in different genres of entertainment outside of her acting abilities.
She's bored.
And so, yeah, she's bored, and she feels that she's multi-talented, which she probably is.
She
tried to get into country music and music, which she's an actress. She's not a singer, but she's not bad at singing. She's not horrible
music
at all.
Was
she's
pretty good.
She's okay. Well, now she's working on things that have to do with like what Martha does,
like
fabrics and looks, as well as like some kitchen stuff as well. And like, so Martha Stewart, she's all up in her gird, because Martha stays in her lane, and that's what she does really well. She sees Gwyneth kind of coming in with her name value and doing the same things, and she's taking her to task for it, which I find it. I kind of agree with Martha Stewart, and I kind of see Gwyneth Paltrow's side of it. Like, I understand Gwyneth is bored. Mm-hmm. She's looking for opportunities. She has a brand in who she is, and she feels that she can apply this brand to multiple things. At the same point, we've seen it 1,000 times where somebody just tries to go down a road that they don't typically go down normally, and it fails horribly. Because
Michael Jordan in baseball.
Britney Spears wants to be an actress. It's got to happen.
Yeah. Hey,
Crossroads.
I own Crossroads.
I bet you do. You wear. But speaking of,
you know what? I never
Paris
watched that
Hilton
movie.
Had to record an album.
Yeah, she had to. Which,
no,
by
no,
the
no.
way,
two albums.
By the way,
and she's
of,
an author.
Speaking of movies, I want to talk about a movie.
Book.
I'm sure
I want to talk
do.
About a movie that Bobby I came over to Bobby's house the other night, okay? And I just decided to come over and hang out. I hadn't seen Bobby. I had to talk to him about a little business. Figured we'd kick it outside and, you know.
Need to have some bromance.
Have a little bromance, a little brogy.
Make mm-hmm. out
brogy.
A little bit.
Brogy.
Which, like by the way, the two Matts who did the Bacon Fest here in St. Louis, we're
going to
be probably having them back on because they are now consulting and involved in this St. Louis Wingding thingamajigger that they want us to do some judging for that I've been talking to them about. So we're going to have the guys from the Wingding in. They're going to bring in some hot wings.
Oh. Say that fast. Wing, ding, 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 ding.
So anyway,
that bacon thing was delicious.
Back to the hog log. Oh,
that was the one I had surgery. Thanks.
Okay, so here we go. We go back. We're gonna go back.
That probably would have given you another surgery.
Actually, it might have been. I'm not sure. So here's the situation. Bobby has me over to his house, and he is in the middle of watching this movie. It's a movie starring Kevin Sorbo, right? And it is called
Kevin Sorbo, and the kid that played the boyfriend on Good Luck Charlie. But the movie is called God's Not Dead.
And it's made and produced by this band, this by popular Christian music called...
The Newsboys.
The Newsboys.
I thought that Greg Kinnear was in that movie.
I don't.
Am I wrong?
No, I think there's a different movie. No. There's
that
a different
one
movie.
That was like Heaven Exists. I know what you're talking about.
Heaven Doesn't Exist or something like that. Yeah. That's a different movie. No, I know what you're talking
you're
about.
You're mixing up your movies.
So I've heard from people that that's a really good movie, too.
I've heard that God Is Not Dead movement.
Okay. Now, so Bobby has me over there. And the whole point, Bobby, tell everybody the premise of the movie.
Okay. Well, the premise.
And I need the cliff note.
Premise of the movie is there's this kid that. Basically, it's his first year in college, and he is in a philosophy class, and the teacher is atheist, and the teacher tells the kids, you have to say God is dead, and there's no questions asked. That's what you're doing.
And that's how you get your grade.
Right. Why is there a philosophy teacher that's
because
atheist?
He's saying that all the big philosophers
were
atheists. Because philosophy
tends to... fall into the realm of like where the most famous philosophers come from at those time periods. Either you were religious or non-religious, and depending on the philosopher and how popular they became, like Socrates and Plato and people like that, a lot of them were atheists. They were not believing in multiple gods. Correct. And things like that.
Well, I mean, I'm saying that if you were going to that area of philosophy, but there's also Eastern philosophy, which is the belief
right.
Of
but of course, within,
it's a movie.
But within his class. He tends to talk about philosophy as an overall generalization.
It sounds like that teacher's a pompous ass.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So, Bobby, what do you got?
This is the trailer for the movie.
Okay, go ahead.
You prayed and believed your whole life.
That's Dean Cain,
and
by the way.
Here you are.
Explain that
Superman?
To me.
Superman?
What do you say to people that are offended by your show because you pray to Jesus in every episode?
If we disown him, he'll disown us.
Duck Dynasty, the Robertsons.
A 12-year-old watches his mother dying of cancer. A God who would allow that is not worth believing in. Life is really a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing.
Name? Wheaton. Josh Wheaton. Philosophy 150. You might want to think about a different instructor. Come on, man, it can't be that bad. Think Roman Colosseum. People cheering fear of death.
I'm Professor Radisson. This is Philosophy 150. I would like to bypass senseless debate altogether and jump to the conclusion, which every sophomore is already aware of, there is no God. All that I require from each of you is that you fill in the papers I've just given you with three little words, God is dead. Mr. Wheaton, is something wrong?
I can't do what you want, I'm a Christian.
If you cannot bring yourself to admit that God is dead, then you will need to defend the antithesis.
Think of Jesus as my friend.
You think Jesus is God?
I won't disappoint him. So your acceptance of this challenge may be the only meaningful exposure to God and Jesus they'll ever have. See, to me, he's not dead. I don't want anyone to get talked out of believing in him just because his professor thinks they should.
Mr. Wheaton, are you ready?
We're going to put God on trial.
If you think you're smarter than me, do not try to humiliate me in front of my students. In that classroom, there is a God. I'm him.
This experiment is over. You get to decide who the most important person in your life is. Me, Professor Radisson.
But I have to do this thing. Like it's something that God wants me to do. I can't just turn away from it.
You just want to ensnare them in your primitive superstition.
What I want is for them to make their own choice. That's what God wants.
You have no idea how much I'm going to enjoy failing you.
Yeah, but who are you really looking to fail? Me? Or God?
God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living.
well, ladies and gentlemen, there it is, the trailer for the movie God's Not Dead. Now, I want to get into a little discussion about this, not because I want to go down the religious aspect of this so much, okay? I'm not going to sit there and try to argue to debate the idea of God dead versus not dead or any of that. I want to talk about this for a couple of things. I've got a problem with Christian movies, okay? And the reason I have a problem with Christian movies is not because, listen, the idea behind this movie, the premise, the idea of the whole teacher, the God's not dead, and this is how we're formulating the plan and the template for this movie and how it should, like, the story arc itself. I think that's a genius idea. I think it's a really solid idea because I think it lends to a way to create a great arc. Now, beyond that, couple of things. This is not a good movie. And it's not because of the message of God is or isn't dead. It's not about the message of atheism at all. This is not a good movie because, first off, Kevin Sorbo's not a good actor, okay? Kevin Sorbo, nothing personal. Beastmaster, I get you, dude.
Like, I love the Beastmaster.
Wasn't it?
Yeah,
was he Beastmaster?
Hercules.
Hercules. He was on the TV show.
Yeah.
The WB show.
Wasn't it Hercules?
Was it Hercules?
I think it was Hercules.
It might have been. I'm not sure. Kevin Sorbo's not a good actor, okay?
Yeah.
Now, here's the other problem I have. Now, this is gonna be a little crazy for everybody out there, because if you haven't seen this movie, I'm going to suggest that you kind of turn the radio down for about 30 seconds, okay?
Okay.
Because I'm going to kind of, like, spoil. All right.
Spoil.
Yes, I'm going to spoil.
You can spoil it for me.
There's a section in this movie where Kevin Sorbo's laying on the ground after getting hit by a car. You can turn your stuff down now, okay? He's laying on the ground, and all of a sudden, this comes up, this Jesus.
Well, the movie.
Stop. There's a Jesus preacher type person that walks up who's laying next to him and is like, he realizes Kevin Sorbo's seriously hurt. He's getting ready to die. And he goes, hey, listen, Jesus is here. Jesus is this. Do you believe in Jesus? All you got to do is say right now that you give your life over to Jesus and everything's going to be fine.
He was giving him his last rite.
He was getting, no, he wasn't.
No, he was giving his 45-minute monologue.
That's the problem with the movie. Here's the guy who's in the last 2 minutes of his life, and the last thing he's going to hear is somebody preaching to him about how he needs to be alive or dead,
because
he should be alive or dead.
The guy with the pastor, his exact words are, he's only got minutes left to live.
Okay, you can turn your stuff back on.
How about you just call his family so we can say goodbye to him or something?
That's my point. It's like, okay, then on top of it, this is why Christian movies, for the most, aside from Passion of the Christ, which was a really well done movie.
Yeah, but the Kirk Cameron movies, like Fireproof,
they're all the same. They find the idea of how they can take every situation and try to ram God into it. It's the same idea, and I've talked about this on the show before, of we are all straight. We don't have rainbows and we don't have t-shirts that say, I'm straight and I'm proud. We don't have stickers we put on the back of our cars that say, straight's the way to be. But gay people, nothing personal, gay people and homosexuals, I love you all. They find it necessary at all times to make sure everyone knows that they are gay with their rainbow or their shirt, because it's necessary to engage that argument, because we constantly have to have it to justify ourselves. And that's where the problem with Christian movies is for me. The constant need to try to take every little situation, turn it about, well, like when at the end of the movie, like there's a scene in the end of the movie, this isn't really spoiling anything. This girl who's been kind of like on the side of Kevin Sorbo, she does a blog and all this about atheism. She goes in and the newsboys are standing there because they're getting ready to do a concert and all that. And she's like, oh, it's me. I'm here. And they're like, oh, it's so-and-so. Wow, this, that, and the other. And they're like, and so she asks like one of those leading questions about like Christianity and God versus atheism type thing. And then they go, well, whenever we're up on that stage, I feel like God's holding my drumsticks and he's helping me make this music.
They don't say it as awkwardly as that.
It does sound that awkward because those kind of conversations really don't ever happen in life.
But it doesn't, okay, it may not
happen. It's so forced.
But it may not happen for you, because
you a big fan of the Christian movie?
I'm going to tell you right now what I have a problem with in this movie. And just from hearing the trailer.
Is that there was a movie?
No. Christian movies present an argument that is completely one-sided and set up into a way where they are going to look okay.
That's the design.
But if you check out, this isn't a debate over Christianity or not Christianity, or is God real or not. This is religious persecution brought on by a tyrannical teacher who is forcing them to do something they shouldn't.
I'm an agnostic person. I don't particularly believe in Christianity. But if this dude said to do this, I would not do it because it's totally trashing on people's personal beliefs. And then all he is now is just a bitter person. We're not going to discuss religion. This has nothing to do with faith. This is a psychological-based movie about a person who is bitter, and that's why they choose to force-feed atheism, just like most Christians force-feed Christianity, because it's filling a hole in their life.
But the beauty of it is,
I don't like stuff like that.
The beauty of it is that they're constantly, in every scene, they're trying to find the one person within the scene that is obviously on the other side of the fence so that they can find a way to roundabout focus back on that person and go, why don't you believe? You need to believe more because God does exist, because this is the way the light is. And this, that, you, like in the trailer, you sat there your whole life and you always denounced this and you always prayed for that and it never happened for you. Like, and it's, gosh, man, like, can you guys just do a movie that is like Air Bud? But okay. Eventually.
Kirk Cameron scares me when he talks.
Okay, I'm not an overly Christian person, but two things. A, what you're talking about with the Bible, you know, with the gay, lesbian thing like that. Yes, I understand that sometimes that gets overthrown. But one of the exact word for word verses in the Bible says, he who does not prolificate or whatever it is, he who does not acknowledge God will not be acknowledged in the kingdom of heaven. He who denounces man will be denounced in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, but, guess what?
This is these people's way of going and saying, we believe in Christ and we're trying to tell other people that this is what we believe.
I'm an agnostic, technically, like Dan over there. I'm an agnostic. I do believe in God. I do. I'm a Christian.
Correct.
But I question a lot. And I don't mind doing that. And we're trying to get a pastor on the show so we can have a very deep philosophical religious discussion and debate on the show, because I have some questions that I feel that would be interesting to put on the show. But I find it very difficult for me to. You said that he who denounces this will not be looked upon in the kingdom of heaven.
Correct.
As a Christian.
He who denies me will be denied in front of my Father.
Right. Of course, that's what they're going to say in that book. That's what that book's designed to be. Yeah. Like, guess what? I have a rule in my house. You know what my rule in my house is? Don't walk into my house and call me a whore, because I'm not going to like it. I'm going to kick you out of my house.
You're such
but guess
a whore.
What? If you don't say that to me in my house, you're fine and you can be in my house. Do you understand? Like,
right.
Everybody's got their rules.
It's the
and
same
that book
thing.
Is designed no, but, for that
but
rule.
Here's another thing, too. And this is my point on this. When people try to use quotes from the Bible to argue something, the Bible has been proven time and time again by scholars and people who are much more knowledgeable in dead languages, which were the first three translations were in languages that are dead for so long that even experts in that region and languages that spawn from that have proven that the Bible has been misquoted multiple times in 40 years.
Right.
As of right now, did you know for a while people thought that Jews had horns because the word for light and horns were the same word, but in ancient Farsian, they didn't have that exclamation point or the pronunciation mark on the top. So they found out later Jews don't have horns. It was two rays of light, not two horns shined upon his head. Also, they are now finding out that the word for thou shalt not lay with, or should not lay with another man, the word for man can also be translated into beast or child. And so the translation in itself is the very point that I have, that faith is faith. I'm not knocking it. You should have it. But whenever people present something that is so unstable as evidence, as their only evidence, that's what starts to frustrate me.
Now, the other real quick point that I had was with what Dan said was it, faith or religion is a thing to fill a void. Why do you think it's something that fills a void? Or maybe it's just really awesome things have happened to these people and there's no other explanation except for this could potentially be what happened.
How many of these people believe because they themselves were raised without any kind of religion and weren't hit with any kind of traumatic experience in their life and then went to spirituality or religion? Most of the time they're taught that from childhood, which like any trait that we have, we embody what is taught to us. Number two, the people that find Jesus often find Jesus or find Christ or find religion after a traumatic event, which leaves them scared. They have to latch onto something because the void of nothing is too terrifying on top of the traumatic event.
We're going to get to that
in
a second here.
I'm not saying that there aren't
people
that...
We're not done with this discussion today because we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to get...
But you can't say it's done for the day.
I said we're not done with it for the day. Like, there's more coming up on this because I think that this needs to be discussed I think we need to, into the next section, discuss a little bit about
Bobby,
religion.
He's poking me through the air.
You need to stop.
He is pretty fierce. I think he's going to go on another rant.
No. I want to discuss the idea of why religion exists. It's been a while since the three of us, specifically Lucy's never been involved in this discussion before with us on the show. And of course, we're going to get into a much deeper discussion if we can get a pastor. I've been trying to work with, trying to get a gentleman by the name of Darren on from The Journey, which is a church here in the St. Louis area. Unfortunately, it's not working out right now. So if there's a pastor out there that would like to come on the queue, go to thequeuenow.com, click the contact page, tell us that you're willing to come on the show. It's not going to be persecution of religion. We're going to have an open, very deep debate and discussion about religion and atheism and all that stuff within the realm of 2014. We're going to be back on the queue right after this. We'll discuss a little bit more about this religion.
Reach out, touch faith.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, you'll listen to us on 1380thex.com as well as 1420 WINI every single Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 Central Standard Time on 1420 WINI or newstalk1420.com, as well as 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time Sundays on 1380thex.com and 1380 on your radio dial here in the St. Louis area. Sitting here with, of course, Bobby, Dan, and Lucy, we are discussing a little religion. Yep. And one of the things I want to talk about is Bobby, we you were talking about the void and the need for the Bible and how it comes about and this, that, and the other.
Right.
And one of the things I wanted to bring up that Dan kind of hit on, and this is where I wanted to go with this, is do you realize that at the time periods that a lot of this stuff is formulated, there's no lights, okay? There's no electricities. There's no bridges everywhere.
Yeah.
The United States of America does not exist. Even a majority of Europe itself does not exist. It's not formulated yet. They live in deserts. When it's really hot out, they just live in really hot. At night when it's really cold, like 20 degrees, they sleep in really cold.
You know, that's honestly a misconception. If it's hot outside at night,
it's hot at night. But the desert does get cold too. Like
in the winter the desert is freezing.
That's my point. But they just live in this stuff.
It's 130 and the lowest it's 90.
Okay, they live in a time period where there's no hospitals. There's no way for, like, so if you get cholera, you get some type of a disease. Yeah. You get stung by a scorpion, you get bit by a snake or whatever, you're dying. There is no venom or anti-venom. There's no suck the poison out. They don't know those techniques yet.
Okay.
Literally, life is scary. And at night, when the lights go out, those spiders and the scorpions, they still run around. They're still doing their things. And it's scary. And it's dark. And you can't see anything. And people don't have any law. There's no police. There's nobody to stop. So life in general, at the time periods when the Bible is being developed and the stories we're talking about of these individuals is a very scary time period. And when you are scared and you have a void and you have nothing to live for and you have nothing to hold on to because everything can turn into life or death all the time, you're going to find ways to latch on to something and create something to make you feel comfortable.
Well, you also needed structure in a time when there was no structure.
Yes. And so that's why I really want to get this biblical scholar or a pastor on to discuss these things, because that's the time periods we're dealing with. And because in our time period, we have so many creature comforts, we don't have the same mentality of the individuals that the books are written about as the people that were writing the books at those times.
But could it be an intellectual thing, though, too? And the fact that maybe just not degrading anyone's intellect in this room, but could it be just you don't understand it, so you're chalking it up to, well, these people have to fill a void to something? So
Bobby, you're a human being, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've talked about haunted house stuff before.
Correct.
And you've been honestly freaked out.
Right.
There have been, like when we went with DC and Fish last year, and we're walking down some of those trails and stuff like that, you even turn to me and you're like, those noises are a little weird. It kind of freaks me out. You live in 2014 with creature comforts and things that, like, keep you comfortable and stuff. And when we're walking down those trails, even though the moon was out, we're with a group of like 10 people, something happens or you hear a sound, even you get kind of freaked out now in this current time period. Imagine that this time period and those groups of people,
Bobby,
like, none of that exists.
But Bobby, what do you do whenever you're in that scenario and you feel like you're out of control?
Yeah. What do you do?
What's the first thing you do?
Well, I look to the person that I find comfort in.
Well,
right,
exactly.
Of course. And what and if there was the
first thing? What if there was somebody that I am told to have comfort?
Bobby, what if you're in the screaming house? Like we were talking about doing the screaming house, Bobby. What if you were in there by yourself and you started to get freaked out the way you did that day? Like who would you turn to if you were by yourself in there? What would you turn to?
Well, I would turn to God because that's the person that is
exactly. To protect you have me. To choose to create something so you can
but
grab
it's not
for
choosing
it.
To create.
But
something.
You said something. You said the person you were told to turn to.
Yes.
At some point, it was taught to you.
It was taught to me by he.
But we have to.
So you have had
by he, not by him or her, by he.
But you
meaning him.
Your spirituality comes solely off of a interaction that you had with God himself or herself, and it had nothing to do with any outside influences.
No, because I sat down. And at a time when I didn't know what I was going through, sat down and I had a spiritual conversation with him. And he physically came to me and said, when you're in trouble, you come to me. When you're in poverty, you come to me.
And he physically came and saw you. You've seen this.
Yeah.
With your own eyes.
With your own eyes.
It didn't weird you out at all.
No.
But if you saw a ghost, you'd be weirded out.
But yeah.
Because that's not him.
Well, how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know it's not him? Because remember, he controls everything, predestiny. He knows everybody's lives and how they're going to go exactly, beginning, middle, and end.
But
he understands the devil. He understands how the devil was created. He understands how the devil's going to get cast out, how long he's going to be gone, when he comes back, what's going to happen between him and the devil, and how it's going to end. He already knows all that.
So
he's told the stories, and they've written the stories.
In turn. Turning to him is pointless because what's going to happen is already going to happen.
Yeah, he already knows these things, and he knows that those ghosts exist. He's already over the top of the ghosts. He's got it. He understands the ghosts exist. He put them there.
Those
remember?
Are his
He's
creations.
A part of that.
Just like you.
That's my point. Like, so there's a lot of things that I'd like to deeply talk to a pastor about on the show because I think that I've got a unique. Listen, all right, I'm going to.
It's comfort.
Here's where we go.
I know what you mean by
here's where we go. Okay, let's go down this road for just one quick second, and then we're going to do game on, game off, okay? Okay. I'm just going to like tease this out there to everybody. Dan, you might appreciate this. This is where I might go with a pastor if we have him on, okay? Cliff Notes version for everybody in here. And this is deep. This is very deep. I just explained the whole predestined. Everybody's got a book of life, basically, beginning, middle, and end. He already knows exactly what's going to happen in your life, this, that, and the other, because God created everything. God knows all. That's the game.
Correct.
All right, correct. Now, here we go. This is going to get deep. We have Michael Brown, who gets shot by Darren Wilson at the age of 18 years old. God already knew that Michael Brown was going to get shot by Darren Wilson at the age of 18. He also knew that Darren Wilson was going to be the one to shoot Michael Brown in that situation because he had already set the plans out for both of these individuals' lives. And he put this road bump in Darren Wilson's life, and he puts this ending point in Mike Brown's life, right?
Correct.
So now we have people up in arms. But you have two sections of society. You have people that believe in religion. And you have people that don't believe in religion. All the religious people, right? When they go to the funeral, they go, well, heaven's got another son up there. This is God's will. He wanted to bring this young man home to his castle in the sky. And you know, this is God's will. And, you know, we're happy that he's in the kingdom of heaven with God. That's what we say, right?
Right.
Okay, so you're happy that he's in the kingdom of heaven with God because it was God's will. It was also God's will for Darren Wilson to pull out that gun and shoot that young man. That was God's will. He already knew that Darren was going to do that. So how are we to scarlet letter and hold against Darren Wilson or anybody else? This is just using the Darren Wilson. Anybody else who is in a jail in the history of time. How are we to sit there and say, God, your judgment on Darren Wilson and how you predestined his life is wrong. I'm going to judge you, God, and say that you are wrong for allowing that man to shoot that young man. That was God's decision, according to religious people, to use that gun to shoot that young man. So now we want to scarlet. So we're not willing to judge God on Mike Brown. He's bringing him home. That was God's will. He's in the kingdom of heaven now. But it was still God's will to have him shoot that young man. That's God's decision. Who are you to judge God? Now, if you're religious, the first thing you do is go, well, none of us are. We can't judge
We're
God.
Not.
We
God's don't. The ultimate judge.
There it is. There it is. So who are we on earth to judge that man? Because he's doing what God's will was. That's it. That's it. That's the tease, guys. That's the tease. Because literally, there's absolutes in religion, and God is the end. It all ends with God. He has all power. What he says goes, and we are not to question. Blind faith. That's it. But that's the point.
Here's my other question.
That's a tough one, isn't it, Bobby?
Why was free will instilled if everything's already planned out?
Here's the other thing. Great question. I'll ask a pastor also. We'll throw this one out there for you out there. We have 10 commandments, right? One of them is thou shalt not kill. That's the word of God to Moses to chisel it into stone. Take this to your people. Yet, remember, predestinies, I have all these situations set up. I know what's going to happen in Bobby's life, beginning, middle, end. Mike Brown's life, beginning, middle, and end. But I'm willing as God, once again, to use death and murder and killing as one of my forms to end these predestinies.
But I don't think...
So therefore, I'm willing to use it. So now I'm questioning God again. Uh-oh, here we go again. God used killing. He said, thou shalt not kill. That's the word of God to Moses' ears. But then he turns around and he uses it. What about free will?
But we talked about Satan as well. I don't think it's God. Absolutely, God has a predestiny. God wants you to be. God wants you to live in quote the exact words in the Bible. God wants you to be able to live in a land of milk and honey, which means you have everything you've ever wanted. You have the wife you've ever wanted. You've had all the kids you want. You live in a land of milk and honey. The Satan, the devil,
yes,
his job. When he decided he didn't want to be.
Bobby, Let's go one step further. We might not even get to game on, game off at this point. We're gonna go down this road.
I have a contradiction right there.
We're gonna go down this road. Bobby, I'm gonna play God. I know that this sounds.
I had an actual thing to go on.
Go.
Lucifer was an angel, fallen angel, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. But if there was no such thing as evil, because God created all.
Right.
And God didn't create evil. That's all the devil.
But
then how was evil introduced?
Back to what you said just a second ago. God introduced free will.
If you don't believe
to man,
if you don't believe in God,
but mysteriously, an angel had it.
Angels are the intersect between man and God.
If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Satan.
But the Bible states that the angels are his loyal servants and that free will was introduced to man, not them. So he has it. I know it. And his whole existence,
Dan, we could fix this.
Is evil. And evil could not have existed if it was not created by God,
Bobby.
Because God created all. And religious people deny the creation of evil by God. They say it's solely the devil. But the devil cannot have something that was
first
never
off,
there.
It can
He's
never
not
exist.
God.
He can't exist Correct. Without God. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in the devil because the devil was cast by God out. So therefore,
if you believe in hell, you are believing that God forsakes his own people by sending them to hell by doing what he told them to do. And that's to have free will and to be baited
this is
in
why we want
to a creation that he created.
All right, now here we go. Here
I've
we go.
I've never looked at it that way.
Dan, we're going to play this game. You ready? And not sacrilegiously, just for the sake of devil's advocacy. Okay? I'm going to be the devil's advocate for a moment.
Touché.
Great pun. Great pun.
I am going to play God. Let's have a discussion.
Okay.
Start to talk and ask. You were asking some questions, like to defend, like, or you were arguing against some of these other things that I brought up. So go ahead and start, and I'll play God.
Well, just for the fact of, you know, there's a predestined plan. But,
yes, my son.
You know, with the predestined plan,
yes.
You know, we have been told that we will live in a land of milk and honey, that we will be prosperous, that the kingdom of heaven is filled with gold and riches.
It's very much so, yes.
But you know, someone like Darren Wilson has come along and has ruined a predestined plan.
Yes. He was recently involved in a situation with one of my other sons, Michael Brown.
Correct.
Yes.
So what was that the true destiny or did someone interfere with that?
First off, you're asking me questions. You're not allowed to question me. I'm God. First off. Second off, I will answer your question just because I'm a caring, loving, and nurturing God.
An omnipotent God.
And also a jealous God. I'm a jealous God too.
Yeah.
Okay. First off, I already knew that this was going to happen. I created those individuals. I have their books right here in front of me. I knew exactly what days were going to happen. I knew the first time that Michael Brown was going to break his arm. And I understood that the one time that the girlfriend broke up with Darren, it was in his fault. But I created all that. And then, you know, on top of that, I knew that the situation was going to happen. But I know all the situations that are going to happen. You know, I casted Lucifer out. You know, I'm the one who created him. Like, I told him to get out of here. You're a bad seed. You're not doing the milk and honey thing for me. You know what I'm saying? You're more like oats. You're more like oats, and I need you out of here. You're like that brown shoe with the white tuxedo. I need you to get out of here, okay? So I cast him down. But I know what's going to happen. He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy, and he's not happy with me, so he's telling a lot of people to do bad things, and I don't appreciate that. But then again, instead of just whipping my finger around and just pointing at him and getting rid of him, which I can do. Don't question me. I can do it. Telling you, Bobby, I can do it. I'm going to let him stay. I'm going to let him do his thing. You know, I feel like I like the game. You know what I'm saying? He puts up a really good front on his end. I put up a really good front on my end. I'm going to have my people versus his people. It's almost like Sunday afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got my team. He's got his team. I really like the way this is going down, you know? And so that's just how life is, you know? And what other questions do you have? I mean, I'm in.
All I got to say is this is how my God really is.
I mean,
I'm changing my viewpoint.
Well, the thing about it is, not to be negative.
No, your view is fine.
You have faith. The reason you have faith is because you cannot compare faith with logic. You can't. And that's why faith is faith. And that's why people shouldn't force or be angry at somebody who doesn't have that faith, because the way they see it is different. And that's not their fault. They're not, like, a strong-arm atheist is a person driven by bitterness.
Right. Yes, so, very much so.
But like a person like myself and Mark, we're not bitter, and we're not saying that there isn't a God.
We just have questions on the logical side of certain things.
The Bible that everyone uses, I don't think people understand it like they think they do. I don't think they know the story.
They don't know the dark times I'm talking about.
The story doesn't make sense. There's so many holes in it, which means man screwed up somewhere when he translated. I'm not saying the Bible's not real, and I'm not saying the Bible's not true, but the original Bible and what we read today, I do not think is a proper translation.
Well, my son, I'm just going to be honest with you.
I'm sorry,
sir.
God, you wrote a pretty screwed up book. Listen, you need to be a little bit clearer. How about not killing off people that spoke that language before it got written?
Listen.
You're a crap editor.
Listen, I appreciate your argument against me.
I hope there's no Christ publishing company.
Well,
because you're not batting 1,000 right
listen,
now.
Listen, I'm just going to let you know, 2021 is not going to be a good year for you. So just calm down,
I have
okay?
a feeling after
it's
this interview, written. A lot of years aren't going to be a year for
it's
me.
It's already
if,
written.
If
okay?
it is how the Bible is, I'm going to hell for everything I just
Lucy,
said.
Lucy, on the other hand, she's going to have a fantastic 2020. So it's already
Lucy
written.
Could kill somebody. She could. Would show up.
No.
And she would smile and have her cackle. And God would be like, you know
stop
what?
Talking.
She
stop.
Can stay.
First off, I'm right here. I don't need to show up to cackle. And second off.
Did he just tell me not to yell?
She is not going to kill anyone ever because it's not in her book. I wrote the book. She's not in her book at all. She's not killing anybody. So this is completely stupid. What you said was dumb. Just doesn't make. Now, on top of that, I have a problem
I'm
with
so stuck that he yelled at me.
Are we still
yelling?
Are we still talking to God or Mark Bland?
This is God.
I think Mark Bland thinks they're one and the same.
That's not true at all. Mark Bland. Mark Bland is a very entertaining and interesting individual that I put in the city of St. Louis. Who's out of control. This guy is out of control. I don't think he gets the breaks he deserves, but I read it out like that. I wanted this guy to kind of get close to the Money in the Bank thing because he likes pro wrestling. I wanted him to get close. I you know what I always wanted? You know how like they're at the top of the ladder? Dan, as God, let me explain this to you.
Let me explain
to you the Mark Bland life. For you, so
you
that
know, if Mark Bland was God, this would all make sense.
Listen. As God, what I know Mark likes wrestling. He got involved in it because I told him to get involved in it, and he knows these people. my theory for Mark has been written out like this. You know,
he's
when
like
those Money in the Bank ladder
Shelton
matches,
Benjamin.
When those Money in the Bank ladder matches, you know when they get the ladder all the way up,
yeah.
And then it's like just 2 feet off to the side, just far enough to where they could touch the case and swing it 5 feet away from them over and over. That's what I've written for Mark's life. That's what Mark's life's supposed to be. It's right there. You can touch it, but you're gonna have to climb back down and move that ladder over. And by the time that happens, here comes some big fat guy named Brodus. He's gonna knock you off the ladder.
But God,
that's all I'm saying.
Why doesn't Mark just jump then?
Mark is
he's got chicken legs.
Why Mark, take because the, he has his
why
chicken legs.
Have you seen Mark's
why doesn't
legs?
Mark take the leap of faith?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, first off, I want to let you know, Mark is a believer in me. Okay. He does question.
Why are we still talking to
he
God?
He does question quite a bit.
This is going to go on for days. He's going to do this at home.
His
kids
are going to
come
to
God is watching
come
football.
To my house and play mad with me and be like, I'm God right now.
God,
you know I'm
God's
playing with the
Hail Mary.
You know I'm all playing right, with the right. Packers. That's what the G's for.
And like I said, we're having fun. I was playing devil's advocate. We're playing around with this. But in all seriousness and truth, I think that, you know, we are as human beings logical to an extent.
Correct.
And yes, there is a piece of faith that needs to enter into all of our lives for different reasons. Yet at the same point, I feel that people who get involved heavily into religion, like go overboard, Correct. Like, not just, hey, I go on Sundays and worship. I kind of keep to myself. I treat people good, moral standing, things like that. Those people are fine.
Yeah.
The people that go out of their way to really, like, the stickers with the rainbows. Correct. And the, like, correct. They really push it over the top to the point where
those
they're going to make
Christians.
They're making the movie. They're making the movie that's got to have the roundabout constant, you know, there's always circular reasoning to get every scene back to this specific point because, gosh, everyone is constantly talking about the deepest subjects of religion at all times. That's not the case. I think that at a certain time period in history, ladies and gentlemen, there was a very dark time. It was a very scary time. There wasn't a lot of options out there. There wasn't a lot of things to do. People had pretty much just the ability to talk to each other. And you have to also remember, too, guys, there was a time period in history where religion, the way we look at it and like believe in it, didn't exist in its format. Like, it didn't exist. Like, there was thousands of years, I think, honestly, where like God exists, right? Because the book says he's existed for all time. God existed, but nobody was interacting and talking about it. Nobody was believing.
Well, no. There were believers in the with
do you
the
really
Jews.
Believe that there were like? Do you believe the cavemen existed at all? Do you believe that
they
cavemen
had to at some point? Yeah.
Okay. Do you really believe that cavemen actually got together and discussed any type of omnipotent being at all?
No.
They didn't. They just didn't. Let me tell you what they did. They lived in a cave. They woke up in the morning. They went out and they tried to kill something and not get killed. And then they came home. And they procreated with each other to create other human beings. And that was their whole day. And they interacted with grunts and grums and this, that, and the other. And that was it. There was no going to this cave as opposed to that cave on a certain day or time period to hang out with each other.
Like, as a Christian, I believe that there is a little bit of information. You know, Dan was talking about the Bible is misconstrued a little bit. I believe there was a little bit of information that was left out. I believe there was a theory of evolution within the Bible, but I don't think it was talked about. I think that originally Adam and Eve were created as some sort of ape-esque creature, and then it slowly evolved into our cavemen that we're talking about. And that's when they realized, hey, we're naked. We need to clothe ourselves. And then from there, the Bible picks back up. And that's where, you know, it carries
on.
But
let me ask you something. With how we know about human genetics and how you said evolution.
Correct.
Those must have been two of the smartest ape-like things to ever, because we would have diluted our gene pool as two people had sex and created an entire.
All right. Okay.
Why are you hitting me?
No. Stop. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. We're up against the end of the show. Okay. And
is God going to talk to us again?
This is a serious discussion that I feel that we can go on for a whole another show.
Yeah.
And that's why I really want to get a pastor in here. And we teased you a little bit with it today, ladies and gentlemen, and gave some of our thoughts and our ideas. And we really want to question, and we really want you to think about these things. And you know, if it makes you more firm in your faith, the way we acted or the things that we talked about, great. If it makes you question a little bit and makes you ask some questions to like firm your faith up on the backside, great.
Going to hell for that.
Or if it made you decide to do something else, that's great too. We appreciate you listening. And first off, it's time for us to get out of here. And yep. I want to thank 1380 and 1420 every single week for playing our show. We really appreciate it. Go on over to theqnow.com. If you have any questions, hit us up in the comment section. Like I said, we are looking for a pastor to come on the show to discuss some of these topics. So that would be a great way to get in contact with us. Don't forget, we are going to do an overtime after this show. Yep. That's where we get a little loose. We got some questions. We got a question specifically for Lucy. I got a story I want to talk about. Bobby's going to do his five random things. And don't forget to tell your friends and family about the show and help us grow nationally. Hey, they've stopped the voting on the Riverfront Times thing, so that is over with. We're going to see if we win. If we win, great. If
when
we don't,
we know the result?
We will know sometime, I think, the first week of October.
July 30th of 2014.
I think it's the last week of September or the first week of October, somewhere in that range. Okay. So that's coming up. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the show. And I want to say thanks to Dan Walsh, specifically, as well as producer Bobby. And my girl, the queen of sass, Lucy Mendez. Thank you so much for being on it. We're going to be doing overtime. We'll see you guys next time on The Q. time. I'm Mark Bland, your head evocateur. I'm going to turn that into a thing.
I'm a Volturi.
Me and don't boom the mics around too much there, buddy.
It's okay.
Ingrid Michaelson is who does that song, Girls Who Chase Boys, and all that
Ingrid
stuff.
Ingrid for making that great song.
I think you're just an angry, bitter person.
I'm an atheist.
I'll bring God back in here. I'll bring God back in here right now, dude.
An angry, bitter God person will talk that doesn't to you. Know Jesus.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, we've been talking a little bit off the air about some of the religious stuff we were talking about live on the show, but it's time to do some overtime. We got to get into these fucking letters because I've got some good letters. I do got some, you know, before we knock that out real quick, I do have something I want to read. Whoa, what is that? That's just weird. Okay, hold on. I have it here. We have a little story. Wait, where is it at? Oh my goodness. I guess I don't have a little story.
While you're doing that, I can get to my five things.
Why don't you do your five things? Let's knock that out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for five.
Number five. Chocolate milk was invented in Jamaica in the 1400s. An Irish botanist, visiting Jamaica in the 1700s, took the idea back to Europe and began to sell it.
What do you think about that, Dan?
I can buy it.
All right, fair enough.
Fuck.
It's a challenge to just trip Dan out is what it is.
Over half of the edits on Wikipedia are made by 0.7% of its users. Around 500 hardcore Wikipedia users... who basically spend all their time editing Wikipedia.
Right. Well, you know, and
that's because most of those people use Wikipedia as a source, therefore don't know what they're reading.
But that's
is
not
wrong.
True, because nowadays I feel that Wikipedia has some very substantial ground and it is very truthful. Like, I haven't interviewed many people where I pulled their Wikipedia, read questions and things based off of what I saw on their Wikipedia, and they didn't answer and come back with, well, that's just not true at all. That never happened. No, they all happened.
No, there's nowadays, if you to Wikipedia Henry. A person is one thing, but to go back and Wikipedia an actual event,
it says I'm God in there. I mean, okay. What do you want?
The fact that I'm going to stand on this, the fact that Conan O'Brien put that Asian people lay eggs
no, it's
on
not,
Wikipedia,
it's not saying
and
that
it
you
stayed
can't.
On there for weeks.
Weeks, but it stayed on there for weeks and eventually got taken off, is my point.
Like, yeah, but how do you not know what you're reading is complete crap? And another thing, whenever I was taking a philosophy class and I was looking up things about Buddhism, they had a lot of stuff on Wikipedia that was not right.
Dan,
it was
not accurate. If you physically read the statement, Asian people lay eggs. Themselves, would you believe that?
No. Yes.
Of course you would, because you're logical smart.
But, Mark, that it's does not internet, in though. Any way justify the fact that you cannot be sure of what you're reading is true.
All right, fine.
Whether I knew about it or not, it's still false information.
Number three. Dan. The biggest delivery day in Domino's Pizza history that was not a Super Bowl was the day of O.J. Simpson's Bronco chase.
That is 100% accurate.
That is probably very true.
100% accurate. Number two.
I hope I don't botch this name, but there's a Hawaiian island called Niiahu that's been owned by a family for several generations. The two brothers that currently own it turned down a $1 billion offer from the U.S. government
Gosh,
to own it.
That's so much money to turn down.
Yeah, but these are people it's that are island people. Though. They don't even true. Like the fact that our bases are there. Like I like true island people
we are
do
Hollies.
Not.
We are Hollies.
They do not like the mainlanders coming in there and setting up military bases on their sacred ground.
Okay, fair enough. Number one. I love the horns.
Number one. Only 17 American men in the history have run a marathon in under 2 hours and 10 minutes, but an average of 30 Kenyans a month run the marathon in under 2 hours.
Yeah, that's how they get to work.
Really?
That's crazy. That's how they get away from the lion.
That's weird. All right, okay, so I do know this. It's time for yes or BS, okay? It's time for yes or BS. I'm going to give you a statement, and you decide yes, it's true, or no, it's total BS.
Okay.
And this past week, we had Constitution Day. It's the 227th America. Anniversary of the U.S. Constitution being signed, Dan Walsh.
America.
So let's see how little you know about the Constitution. Can you guys handle this?
Let's do it.
We're going to do it in a roundabout. You know, basically, you guys vote for yes, it's BS, or no, it's not, and then we'll go with what it is. Okay?
Okay.
The first line of the Constitution is, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Yes?
Yes.
or BS?
BS.
It's the preamble.
Hold on. Lucy says?
Yes.
Yes.
If you count the preamble, yes.
It's the first line of the Constitution. Yes or no?
It's in the preamble.
Yes or BS? It's the first line. It depends line. On what you're the counting. The first line.
The like preamble is part of the Constitution.
Okay, if you're counting, yes. That's, I was saying like
actual Constitution. So that's the first line of okay, the yeah. Constitution.
If we're counting, yes, it's we're BS. Counting preamble.
It's BS.
Because it starts with, we the people of the United States.
Oh, very good. I didn't, very good. BS. It is the second line of the Declaration of Independence.
I did not listen my all the way.
Number two. The real first line of the Constitution starts with the words, we the people.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we just covered that.
Yes, very much. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union.
Perfect union, damn it.
Number three.
I fucking knew that shit.
Number three. The Bill of Rights and the First Ten Amendments are the same thing.
Yes.
The same thing?
Yes.
Bill of Rights and Ten Amendments? Is
that yes. The Bill of Rights and the Ten Amendments are the same thing. Yes or BS?
Yes.
Correct. It is the truth.
I thought you meant they were all the same thing. I was like, why the fuck would they write 10 of the same thing? I know it's a long time ago, but damn it, I know they're smarter than that.
Okay. Number four. The Third Amendment says the government can't force you to let soldiers sleep at your house. Yes or BS?
BS.
Yes. Wait a minute. Yes.
No, wait a minute.
You say wait. Yes. You say
what
yes.
Wait a minute. How say? Is it? Say it again. Say it again.
Say it again.
It says that you can't.
It says that the Third Amendment says the government can't force you to let soldiers sleep at your house. I mean, they're paraphrasing, basically.
That's where I'm yes confused. Or no. Like, paraphrasing and they're what paraphrasing you could, like,
what,
turn
what,
it into.
Like what the entire amendment says, but yes or BS. Yes.
At that time, they're saying that you can't.
Not at that time. It's the Constitution. It's what's written down physically. So well, the question I know,
but
is,
a lot
is,
of that has statutes and stuff added to it.
Is the Third Amendment state that the government can't force you to let soldiers sleep at your house? Yes or BS?
Yes.
Yes?
BS.
BS? Yes, it is one of the least controversial ones because it never comes into play anymore. So there you go. It is true.
Touche.
Number five, the last amendment added to the Constitution gave women the right to vote in 1920.
No.
BS? BS?
BS.
BS. That's right. It was the 19th Amendment. There have been a total of 27. The last one was ratified in 92. And it says that if Congress votes to raise their salaries, it can't take effect until the next election year is over. So there you go. Congratulations. You guys made it through yes or BS.
Sweet. We're citizens.
Let's rock it into some
maybe
of these.
Not Lucy.
I got some letters here. Dr. Dan, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Lucy,
I thought this was a Lucy letter.
I do have a Lucy letter here, but we're going to do the others too.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Okay. Big fan of the show, and I think it's great. Dan is back. He sounds sexy. Then I looked him up, and damn, I was right. Anyway, I got a serious issue for you. My sister just got engaged to the guy she's been dating for about 2 years, and I'm really happy for her. The one thing I'm not happy about is being her maid of honor.
Oh.
We don't have any other siblings, and she naturally asked me. So I feel I'm basically being forced to do it. The problem is I hate being a maid of honor. And honestly, I'm terrible at it. I had to do it once before, and the whole experience was awful. I think my sister's best friend would be a much better choice. Can I tell my sister I don't want her to be her maid of honor? Is that rude?
No.
No. Suck it up, you fucking bitch. That's your sister. You do it because she would do it for you. She would give her life for you. I'm almost certain. But no, fuck you.
But okay. Yeah. The argument is it's her wedding. The argument is it's her wedding.
Correct.
It's her wedding. It's the way she wants her wedding to look and go down in
you
history.
Sit your, correct.
Yeah, but I mean, I would simply no. Have sit her one down. Sister, and if my sister didn't want to be my maid of honor, I would understand.
You would understand, but what if you specifically you wanted your sister to be
well,
the
yeah,
maid of honor?
You would ruin your sister's day.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If she says...
How is she ruining her day?
This is a stupid fucking argument. Listen to me.
Dan Walsh is irate.
Why do like, are you
fucking kidding
you?
Me?
Do not
this
curse,
argument
first
is not,
off, do not curse my name in vain, please.
First
thank
off,
you.
If you go and talk to your sister and you say, listen, I feel that your best friend would be a better maid of honor than me, and I want you to have the best wedding experience ever. I am so honored that you asked me, but it's truthfully for your own well-being. If you were to decide her, I wouldn't feel bad. Then she could say either, yes, thank you, I felt bad, I was actually wanting to ask her, or she could say, you know what, no, I'd really like it to be you. And then in that case, then you do it. There's nothing wrong with making sure that you do your part to make your sister's day the most special on the planet.
Fair enough.
You can have a logical fucking conversation without pissing someone off. Stop making shit an issue. And I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the fact that I could not believe this wasn't the first
time. Big outrage!
We were saying the exact same thing.
Dan.
No, he was like, Dan, fuck Dan. You, you better do it.
That was Dan. Bobby, and I was what like, was Dan. I
here's a great point. You're like, no, let's fucking argue that fact.
Dan, I lay hands
we're
upon
not
you.
As perfect as you
and I just want to tell
calm
you.
Calm down. I don't want you to choke on the microphone there.
I lay hands
calm
upon down. You and I just
this
want you to
know.
This
is why I'm in a relaxed place right now.
Jesus loves you.
The sixth step. Hallelujah. The sixth step says calm down. Okay. Now here we go.
We went to AA from the fucking Bible.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, listen.
And that's not the sixth step, by the way.
What? Whoa. Those girls do chase boys, evidently.
Ingrid will come back.
Ingrid's coming back to, like, haunt you. Mm-hmm. Yo, Mark. I was out to lunch with some friends the other day, and we got into an argument about whether or not eggs are considered dairy. For some reason, we asked the couple at the table next to us about it. The woman went off and told us way too much information. She said she has irritable bowel syndrome, and eggs do a pretty bad number on her digestion and cause her to be constipated for days.
That is
it
way
was
too much information.
Unnecessary for her to tell us that amount of information, but it seems to happen a lot more these days. Everyone wants to share. Is it weird that we were all constantly telling the world about our personal lives? Is it weird that we tell everybody about our personal lives constantly?
Yes.
Yes.
It's nobody's business.
I really think that we are oversharing. I feel that, like...
I just want to know why the fuck you were stupid enough to think eggs were dairy.
Eggs are dairy, aren't they?
No. Dairy is a byproduct of a fucking
cow. Oh, they're meat product. Well, wait. But they do dairy. You know what? I see where the confusion is coming.
Dairy. Byproduct.
Nope. I see.
Cheese. Milk.
No. I see where...
Chicken is not fucking dairy.
No. I see where the confusion is coming in, though.
Good, because I don't.
That they weren't fucking educated?
No, stop. When they
that
go
they don't
to
know their animals?
Stop.
They didn't have that wheel.
Hey, God's talking over here. Stop. Okay? You don't know Rudy. I run this.
You bless me.
Mark, I
bless you.
Quiet
you don't
down.
Bless me.
I need you to quiet down, Mark.
No. Listen, book it.
Okay, simple. It's simple. When people go to the grocery store, they tend to put the two sections relatively close to each other because of all the dairy meat, because it all has to stay cold. And it's kind of like closely related, bacon, eggs, meats, this, you know, like, no, people like they put those sections close to each other. So as you're walking through the store, you'll see in your head, dairy, meat, cold areas all in the same area. So people get confused about that because that's how they live their lives. Now everybody's living in a farm, constantly getting chicken eggs.
So
and
I'm
going,
supposed
you know what?
To walk
this
down
is obviously
the aisle and go, so, and go, look, it's breakfast. Let's get the orange juice, the meat, and the fucking
the
bread.
Don't
to make
you
the
fucking
toast.
Dare
this
sit there.
This is the exact reason.
Don't you fucking dare sit there and look at me and act like you don't like fucking bacon with your, bread, with your eggs, you motherfucker.
I like bacon
I
with
know
everything.
You do. Yeah, you do.
Fucking, I love rubbing it on
you
my
had,
penis.
You had,
everything.
You had it on a damn donut last week, didn't you? You did.
You know, I do understand this point. That's why when I was at Cabela's, you know, and I saw the little mountain lion attacking the deer for a while, I thought fucking feline species was the same thing as a deer. Because they were right next to each other in a fucking store.
Okay. All right. Lucy.
What up?
I am asking the lady of the crew this one. I was with a guy I had just started seeing and I was on top during sex. He told me to stop and he was about to come and he didn't want to yet. I hop off his junk, but it's too late. He blows his load with such force, his spunk lands on his own face. He sat there in absolute shock and horror while I tried not to laugh. I got him a towel and told him, gosh, we have so much in common now. Well, he got pissed and told me to leave. I was kind of taken aback by his request, but naked and starting to cry, I gathered my things and got dressed and left. He called me the next day wanting me to come over and hang out. I didn't want to after the way I was treated. Was I in the right or was he?
I would have left and not answered any more of his calls.
I mean, but my question, I think this is, she asked you, like, give her
my opinion.
Your opinion. She should have.
I think I would have laughed.
Right. She probably was holding back, like it was probably sneaking through here and there. But my point is that that's probably an embarrassing moment for him. And like, so he's hoping in such a, like, not every guy
at
just walks around their house half naked like Dan does, looking at their schlong in the mirror going, gosh, Golds is really doing it for me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do,
some
but
people
I don't
are
say
just
anything
like,
about Golds.
But some people
I stare at my abs more than I do my, and I'm getting fat, so that doesn't really.
Some people are self-aware, though. Do you see what I'm saying? And then, like, you know, being in such a, what's that word?
Feeble,
intimate moment. You know what I'm saying?
Postcoital.
Postcoital moment. Like
I love the word coitus.
They might feel insecure. Insecure.
Okay.
There might be some insecurity there. And so like when this happens, they didn't expect it to happen. It happens. The girl starts laughing at them, you know, chuckling through the side. And so they get a little angry about it because they're in an insecure moment. Do you understand that? Like,
yeah, okay.
I would have laughed.
I think it would have been.
It's not like a semen was
are
like
you
the
Lucy?
Spit.
Yeah. Is your name Lucy, Dr.
I'm
Lucy?
Sorry.
Yeah.
God damn.
Sorry.
Stop. I'm right here, man. I'm right here.
I apologize. Chicken is dairy.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that she should just talk to the guy and just be like, yo, it was a funny moment.
Yo, yo, yo.
Chill
yo,
out.
Bro.
Flavor. Then have some more sex and you guys can both come
together
and explode together.
Explode together. Yeah. That's what Randy and Matthew say. That's what they say.
They make me explode.
They really do. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen,
ideal meal.
It's about time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to say thanks to every single person out there who listens to the show every single week. I want to say thanks to Dan Walsh.
You're welcome.
Dan Walsh, you got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I saw Django Unchained for the first time.
And how'd you like it?
When Samuel L. Jackson comes out and starts yelling at everybody.
Oh, that's funny.
It's hysterical.
That's dude. A very funny scene.
Did you watch the girl in there have sex with her boyfriend in the middle of Los Angeles?
Yeah, that girl was in that movie.
Well, good for her.
All right.
She did a really good...
Her name
good,
is Coco.
I thought it was Samuel L. Jackson, but she did a very good convincing makeup job.
Bobby, producer Bobby, thanks so much for doing the show.
Absolutely, man.
Anything you want to say?
Don't always let the crowd take control of your thoughts.
Fair enough.
Have your own thoughts.
America.
Is there anything you want to text to anybody real quick? Want to text anything out there?
Any new phones?
Any three words you want to text?
God's not dead.
All right. Lucy Mendez, the queen of sass, the bitchiest, sassiest queen we know.
I'm bitchiest too?
Yes, the sassiest bitch we know.
Oh, okay.
We call you that. Anything you want to say before you get out of here?
Buenas noches.
All right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. I'm Art Bland. This has been The Q, and we will see you guys next time on the show. They didn't earn that yet. Self-righteous and entitled, but they swearing on the Bible that they love you, and really they no different from all your rivals. But I still don't wish death on them. I just reflect on them.